in town, right?
Keep a sign on my gate in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Marilyn was real proud of that, to avoid lawsuits.
You know, I thought that was my duty.
Marilyn.
You made the whole thing.
We're going to spend the next few days with regard to the morning Bible study on some subtler aspects of the Passover. So we'll return to the gifts of the Spirit after Passover. After Passover, hopefully. There's this weird rule or law regarding the Passover sacrifice, the sheep, and the is that you cannot kill the Passover with the intention of eating. Now, this doesn't make any sense because the whole idea of the Passover sacrifice is that you must slay the Passover lamb, and according to the certain rules, then you must eat it in family groups, and you must eat it at evening, and there must be enough of the lamb so that the 10 to 20 can all eat it and have none left over, but that each must be totally filled. The Passover lamb is the essence of the meaning of Christ when he said, in order to have eternal life, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. But the Passover lamb cannot be sacrificed with the intention of eating it.
That's the same as people that criticize you for being so negative and not preaching on the positive aspects of the cross and stuff, and also the idea of the little cartoon of the cross being the bridge across the chasm. He's trying to get to the end without going through it.
Right, because you cannot gain from the slaughter of the Passover lamb, or you cannot even intend to gain, which is a huge, huge deal in terms of what is your motivation for coming to God or for coming to Christ or for all of the other things. You cannot, the Passover lamb cannot be killed with the intention of gaining anything from it, even eating. And so this speaks to the first words that Christ said with regard in his first public declaration when he said in Luke that he came to preach to the poor or to the empty or to the ones that the only those that were fed up with the universe can the Passover lamb be.
In their mode.
So if you've come to God with the for some purpose, if I have taught you in any way that you gain something by coming to God, then I am a heretic. And if you, in your own mind, believe that you're going to gain something by coming to God, you're a heretic. The idea that the Passover lamb cannot be killed with the intention of eating it has staggering implications. It implies that the act of killing the lamb had to be from God. I mean, the lamb was slain from before the foundation of the earth. Is this striking any of you? Do you understand? You cannot celebrate the Passover with the intention of gaining anything from it. If you have any intention of gaining something from it, even if it's peace or understanding or you know, some kind of anything, then you invalidate the Passover. You may have a party Jim, you here? You weren't. Are you back? What that means at its core is we've been celebrating for the Passover for, this is our 26th or 27th year, I think, maybe more. But I would wager that some people that have come to the feast have never celebrated the Passover. All they did was come and eat a meal because they had an intention. They had a reason for eating the Passover. It's the same way, the same thing with baptism. Everybody's been baptized, supposedly, but for the most part, you didn't get baptized. All you did was get wet, because baptism is your death. Now, for that reason, it's called not your Passover, or it's not called Israel's Passover, it's called the Lord's Passover. It's the gospel, the good news to God. It's the gospel, it's the essence. Everything about Passover reveals everything in the rest of the Bible. Remember the Passover sacrifice, and the Passover is before the law, and yet it fulfills the law. It's like the promise was made before the law. So it's the idea that you can't gain anything. It's if you let this sink into the depth of your being, you will come to the understanding that unless you're coming to God for His purpose and His purpose alone, then you're not coming to God.
I keep hearing this in relationship to leaven. It's like a part of the, which must get rid of as a precursor to the celebration.
Now, again, in the Talmud it says, if the sacrifice is slaughtered with the intention of using it for any purpose, including eating it, then it is invalid. Therefore, this is the only sacrifice made for the purpose of eating that cannot be sacrificed with that purpose in mind. Now, this paradox has generated unbelievable commentary throughout history, massive amounts of the Talmud are written about it. But it was, when I saw this and understood it, it cemented everything about the gospel being good news to man. I mean, good news to God, but extremely bad news to men. Now, if you want to use it to have nicer kids or a better marriage or whatever, or to have your own peace or trying to gain anything, then it's invalid. You might as well have gone to a movie. You might as well have gotten your theology from a movie. So, does anybody have any response to this?
Yeah, I was trying to make some kind of sense out of it, because we have been doing it for a long time. And when you said it's for God's purposes, it's kind of like you open a door into a place you've never been. You're not sure why you're there.
Right, and that's the whole purpose. Your life is not your own business. Therefore, you never have a right. Are you back? Are you here? Everybody's going.
Not me.
Huh? I know. I knew you wouldn't, Ronnie. No, Ronnie's the example for everybody.
I'm thinking about the first Passover, in which the lamb was slain, put the blood on the
For the protection from the death angel.
And so, you know, after that, it was, you know, eating it was the thing. That was the only thing. The first Passover
was the only one that was
He had no people.
Right. But it was, remember that the first, remember we've studied this many times, the first Passover they had to eat with their staff in hand and their loins girded and ready to leave at a moment's notice. That was their escape hatch. But from that point on, you only ate the Passover and lying on the pillows at rest. It's a celebration of the mysteries and glories of God.
But, you know, the first Passover, I mean, eating it was definitely secondary to me. So, I don't know. I don't really see. There's a link there somewhere, but I don't know.
Yeah, I was seeing something here. The same thing. It's like you have preconceived ideas. It's like you have pre-planted where it's going to go. Then you're not empty. You are preconceived.
Right, and all of the book of Exodus and Numbers shows what happened to the people that didn't eat the Passover. They might as well have not eaten the Passover in Egypt, because what happened when they got into the wilderness, they complained, they judged each other, so. It proved, if you complain or murmur, it proved that you ate the Passover for the wrong reasons.
The parable about the king who, you know, sends people out to come to the feast and nobody wants to show up. And so then he sends his servants out to gather anybody who will come to it. That what you said makes you understand, or makes me understand, that he didn't want to feed people. He wanted to have a party, and in order to have a party, he had to have somebody show up there. So they weren't showing up for their own purposes, and those who did, you know, were found to be not having the right wedding garment on. They showed up for his purpose.
Yeah, it's a whole predicate of Passover, that whatsoever is being done for the purposes of God, not for you. And this is something that's been lost because modern Christianity is a you-centered religion. And it's sad.
Yeah, this ties into Jewish evangelism. You know, get away from here. There's nothing for you. It's God's way of advertising.
It's not Jewish evangelism. That's Christian evangelism. It doesn't matter what we call it. You can call it evangelism until hell freezes over. From God's standpoint, it's not evangelism. you can get wet every day. It's not baptism unless you see it's your death. If you are coming to God to gain anything, even the slightest, even the only time, what Josanna said, the first Passover was to escape. Eaten in readiness, with your loins girded, your staff in hand, eat it standing up, getting ready to just leave at a minute's notice. But from then on, it's like going, you can't go into the temple with any money in your pocket. You can't go into the temple with the intention of doing anything afterward. Well, you remember the plagues?
Yeah.
Right. They had to leave the world. And the ones, and it's only two, if you really read the scriptures, it's only two that ate the Passover. One was Joshua, who was the type of Christ, and the other was Caleb, who was a Canaanite, the friend of the bridegroom. So the best that you and I can be after the flesh is a friend of the bridegroom. And we're only a friend of his because he's told us all things. And yet, we still are involved. But to make any aspect of Christianity man-centered, and for you in your thought process to make it, you make it man-centered the minute you have a concern, the minute you complain, the minute you are anxious about anything, then your relationship to God becomes man-centered, which means either you may have eaten the Passover once, for maybe you had like one bite of it, but to eat the Passover is to consume the lamb so that nothing is left over, so that there isn't anything else in your life save the Father. This is radical. This is crazy. Why would I do something that wouldn't benefit me? Well, the only way you would do something that doesn't benefit you is that you either by experience or empathy have seen the futility and emptiness of everything else. You may be able to tell that I listened to religious broadcasting most of the night last night, because everything I heard reminded me of those first few years after God revealed His Son in me, when I went to all of those churches, and every one of them was telling me how to get something from God, and it would make me ill. Now, it doesn't mean that they're wrong or I was right. It means that for me, and for whatever purpose God had for me, I would have loved to have found a place where I wasn't hearing something or about how I can get something from God. I mean, that would have been great with me. And we wouldn't have had to put up all this crap all these years. But, and again, that's why I'm saying, what I'm talking about is for you. It's not for them. We have an office to fulfill in the body of Christ. And in that office, we're not saying that anyone else is doing it wrong. Even atheists or even people that are persecuting Christians, we're not saying they're wrong. We are saying that we must be faithful to what we see. This isn't a nice place for you. This isn't a place. This is a place where even your words are made fun of. Because your words, as we talked about yesterday, are just an alliance of these grunts and groans that you can make with your vocal cords mean something. And everybody, all of us, had to agree, okay, that's what that means. And the writing is just a bunch of scribbling that everybody agreed with, that's what that means. And the amount of light that we can see is limited by a small part of the light spectrum. And then what we can hear is a tiny range of what the possible wavelengths are. And so it's vital that we be able to be true to what we see without judging anyone else. But it's the most important thing is that we must be true to what we see.
These regulations about not killing it, eating it, and going to the temple and thinking you're going to go someplace else. And the idea that in that parable, he wants to furnish his party with guests. Each year we go out to storage and we get plates that are only used for Passover. We go get glasses and silverware and a piece of canvas and wood and all those things that come together and create Passover. And it's like we're the lively dishes and glasses and plates and silverware. We are the Passover is furnished with us. And the idea of a plate saying, I don't like the food that's being put on me, or I don't like the way I'm being used, is ludicrous.
If you really think about it, I've been doing this for a long time now, even long before I met most of you. And I have I've got a lot of enemies. A lot of people don't like me. And a lot of people have come here for a while and left. And they usually blame it on something that has nothing to do with anything. I mean, I don't understand. They've never come and said, Ole, you're wrong about that scripture, or you're wrong about that, what you teach. Not once. They've come because the standard of coming to God without the intention of gaining something is really stupid from a man's standpoint, and from anybody's idea of the way things should be, they're right. You're right to leave here. It's a crazy place to be. You have to have lost your mind to have seen something in order to stay here more than a few weeks. Because to go someplace and to be involved and devote your life to something that will never again benefit you is mind-blowing. How can that be? And if you, in the slightest, move towards your benefit, that somebody is going to exhort you pretty strongly. If you slightly move towards self-realization, the idea that we can no longer live in any aspect of cause and effect, the idea that we can no longer live in any aspect of doing something for our benefit without getting called on the carpet. Now, that's not true for the kids. You know, we encourage the kids. We try to push them into the best schools and get the best education and to try to get them to go anywhere in the world, do anything. Why? What's that about? Well, because they have to see for themselves, either by our corporate experience or by their experience in going, pushing all these things, that there is no there there. There is no there in any aspect of self-realization. Now, there's a lot of people that hang around here that are spiritual children. Or it may be that they, that in the economy of God, maybe we're a kneecap and they're an elbow. But it must be done without rancor, without ever having the slightest feeling of your rightness or their wrongness, or your superiority in some way. Even as I've said so often, even the investigations that we do, we're really investigating ourselves because we see what we would do if we were in their position. Do you think that any of us would be any different without any accountability and had unlimited funds and unlimited celebrity? My God, we're all evil. But God has called us. One of a city, two of a family. He's brought us to Zion. And Zion is a dry, arid place. That's what the word Zion means. And he'll give us understanding and knowledge according to his heart for the purposes that he caused you to come into being. And for us, the critical issue of this in terms of understanding the mystery of God in a living way are all of these crazy feasts and fasts. Because it causes us to come to a place where we have a tactile experience of the Word being made flesh in us. Instead of it just being a philosophy that's over here or a religion that's over here that we attain to, we live it. We just be. Now, nobody can understand it. How can you just be? And that's what we're about, in a nutshell. And that's what Passover is about. It's about the celebration of the escape from the survival of the fittest, because we're not fit. It's this escape from the rules and the world of principles of how to do things right, because we can never get it right anyway. And it's an escape thinking that any aspect of our lives that we have to take control over. And literally, Passover is the celebration of the escape from everything that I once held dear. So if you hold it dear still, you have no intent of escaping from it. Your only intent is to make it better by Passover or by coming to God. My family's falling apart, so I'm going to become a believer. Now here's the little rules that I have for making my life come together better, and I have a nice family and nice kids. Well, for us, maybe for some, that might work. Didn't work for any of us that I know of. And what I'm getting to and what I'm trying to say is for us and for truth's sake, there is nothing that I can do right in the world. Or even here, I can't do anything right. Now, can you come to that place? Can you eat the Passover without expecting to gain anything from it? Can you present yourself as a living sacrifice with no expectations whatsoever? That's what it means to be a sacrifice.
No, thank you, then. we all can celebrate this Passover without
light as a feather. Amen. Light as a feather. So that means you were going to kill a Passover with the intent of eating it to gain something.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not. You've confessed that as sin and you're moving on. Thank you.
I think you take a little offload, right?
When you talk about when you saw God, and when many of us did, it's at the place of where you realize you were the worst being ever was. And why would you want to go back into that being and start over again? That's what you abandoned. That's all about God.
Well, it took me a minute, a little longer than that, before I saw I was the worst one. But yeah. I came to God because I was bored.
Yeah. Well, the idea of you walk in the place you receive me.
Right. And that total dependence. Well, that was a preamble to Passover. Everybody understand perfectly?
When I was baptized so I wouldn't go to hell. I've heard you say often, even if it meant there's nothing after this, you still have to be faithful to what you say.
No, that's not what I said. I said, even when I realized that I was too evil to be saved, I still have to do this.
Now, I'm scared.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so many people think, well, I'm going to do this walk, live this life, because I want to gain life. And that even eternal life is polluted if I'm there in that moment.
Amen. Anyone else?
You think about what Tom said, that you know, you go through this door and you don't know what's going to happen. You just total.
You remember that? We quoted it a bunch of times, but that woman that wrote that book that said, ushers shouldn't seat us in comfortable pews. They should give us crash helmets and tie us to the, strap us to the seats, lest this one that we have dealings with will arise. What are the alternatives? All righty. Take it large, person.